Recording in progress.
We've got a mover and a second to adopt the agenda, please. Let me just go quickly. Is that Dungeni or Latuli speaking?
Maha moves, Chairperson.
Thank you, Member.
Dungeni moves the adoption of the agenda.
Okay, Member Maha moves for the adoption, Comrade Dungeni. I will take you as the second if that's in order. Can I also request members, if you're not speaking, to please switch off your mics? We can also ask members, if you don't have trouble with your connectivity, to please switch on your videos when you speak. Thank you, members. Then allow me to this morning welcome all our members of this committee, all our staff members, and a very special welcome to the NYDA board members and also the department who is joining. And also from the minister's office, let me also welcome the representation who's here from the minister's office. We will deal with apologies later. Let me first welcome all of you. Members, as you can recall, as the select committee, we went through a very trying process to, at the end of the day, deliver a very, to deliver the NYDA board, as was endorsed by the president. And I want to remind members that we had to go through two processes together with the portfolio committee. And at the end of the day, we came up with a list and we sent it through to the president, and the president endorsed the members who is currently serving on the board. Now, for this process, I think we went through two interview sessions. Tiring processes, Member Baha. I can remember when you were in Johannesburg and I was doing it virtually for the first process. I could see how tired you were at that site in Johannesburg. And then we went through the second process where we did the interviews in Parliament, and some of us joined virtually in this process. One of our committee members from the portfolio committee was also part of this process, passed on. And but she was sick, but she continued doing this process, doing a job as a member of the special committee that had to appoint this board members. At the end of the day, the president signed off and we had a board, and it's the first time that this board is coming to present before the select committee. And I think it is it's an exciting day for the select committee members to eventually have the NYDA board. And let's listen this morning of how, since we went through the process and they were busy with their first projects in the NYDA, let's listen how far they come and what is the challenges, what they achieve, and then engage and have the discussions and pose your clarity questions so that we can have a very good interaction this morning. To the board members from my side also, I did wish you well when you were appointed, but this morning I want to do it again. I want to say to the board members who is being under the leadership of the chairperson, a young, dynamic woman, Asanda, all our well wishes towards your work. We know the challenges that we are facing in this country with the high unemployment rate of young people. But let's work together and try to uplift our young people out of all these challenges that they are facing. I'm really looking forward to your presentation this morning, and I think all members of the Select Committee is very excited to hear what you did and where you can improve. I think it will. We must have it like a very, very interaction in the Select Committee meeting this morning. With those few words, feel free, feel welcome, and know that we can work together. And as the Select Committee, I want to give you the guarantee that we will keep you accountable. We will keep you accountable for what you are doing, where you can approve. And if there is issues, we as this committee won't hesitate to call you before this committee to answer the questions and to account. But feel free this morning and feel welcome. Thank you very much. Members, I will now allow Marcel to give us the apologies. Thanks, Marcel.
Good morning again, Chairperson and members, colleagues from the NYDA, all present. Chairperson, we've received an apology from the Minister, who is busy with the NA member training, as well as the CEO of the NYDA, who had a personal issue to attend to, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you, Marcel. Can members, can we accept that apology? The CEO sent a letter that the CFO is in the meeting this morning. Can we move for the adoption of the apologies, members?
Honorable Chair?
Yes.
Good morning to your good selves and all members present. I move for the adoption of the apologies. Thank you.
Thank you, Member Nkosi. Can we have a second for that?
I second Chairperson Ms. Baha.
Thank you, Member Baha. Now, let me ask the Chairperson of the NYDA Board to give us a briefing and with the department present the presentation. Thank you. Over to you, Ms. Luwaka.
Thank you very much, honorable members, and good morning to the honorable chair, honorable members of the select committee, as well as the board members. Honorable members, I will request to have my video off if the honorable members allow. I'm just struggling with connection on my side, so it's having my video on will just destabilize my connectivity. Apologies, honorable members. I wish to just briefly. Okay.
Sorry, Member Chabaling, I see your hand is up.
Yeah, I was asking that if you could just switch a video on at least a little bit so that we see who she is, because we haven't seen her physically.
Okay.
But if, yeah, I'm just saying that if it's okay, to switch it on and then off,
You know, members traveling, you reminded me now of something, eh? Because it's the first time that the board is coming before our committee. I would like Asanda, if she can switch on a video just so that people can see your faces, then introduce all who is present in this meeting. And my apology to the minister's office if there is maybe an input from the minister's office that they want to produce and also introduce themselves. Let me start by first, as the members of the select committee, to introduce themselves. Switch on your video just if you have connectivity problems, just for a minute, so that everybody can see who is in the select committee. Then we will ask the same from the minister's office, who is presenting the minister here, and then also from the board and the department. If we can do that, I will switch on my video. My name is Marincha Gillian. I'm the chairperson of the select committee. And then I will ask all members of our committee to switch on their video and introduce themselves. We'll start with you, Member Chabalek.
Yes, thanks, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Alec Mamagasen Chabeleng. I serve in this committee and I originate from the province of Limpopo. It's nice engaging with you today, friends. You are muted, Chair.
Oh, sorry. Members, I'm not going to call out your names. You can continue to introduce yourself. Let's start with the members.
I'll start, Chairperson. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to everyone. I think it'll be nice engaging with everyone. I'm Dalmaine Christians. I also serve on this committee, and I come from the Northern Cape.
Morning, Chair. My name is Nobosolando Jenny. I'm sort of at the background. I'm on my way to Kwakwa. Sorry about that, but I'm on the mission.
Morning, Cash.
You can continue, Member Nkosi.
My name is Honorable Ethel Nkosi, member of the Select Committee representing Mpumalanga Province. Thank you.
Good morning.
Member Latuli, continue.
Morning. My name is Lindia Latuli from KwaZulu-Natal. I serve in this committee.
Good morning, Chairperson and members of the NYDA. I am Bulelo Bhaga, a member of this committee. It would be great to get a sense of how far the NYDA has moved since we appointed them. And I think it would be great to get a sense of how far they are going thus far and how we could be of assistance or advice if it's required to make sure that we deliver on the high unemployment of young people in our country. Thank you, Chairperson.
Good morning. My name is Lee Nwanki from Northwest. I serve in this committee.
Good morning, Chairperson and the board. My name is Situmele Mvuta Nzube. I'm the member of this select committee. I'm from the province of Free State. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think that is all our members present, and I am from the beautiful province of the Western Cape. The Minister's Office, are you in the meeting?
Thanks, Chair. I am the PLO in the ministry. I am Jack Matar.
Thank you, Mr. Maklala. Is there anyone?
I'm Jagan.
Are you? Is there anybody?
No, the
or are you alone?
The Dr. Benis, I thought, will be in this meeting. I will check with her.
Okay, thank you. Now we will go to the chairperson of the board.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, and greetings to the Honourable Members once again. My name is Asanda Lwaka. I am also from the beautiful province of the Western Cape, and occasionally I moonlight as a resident of Gauteng. I'll hand over to the Deputy Chair, and then afterwards the other board members to introduce themselves. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, Honourable Members, and the Chair of the NYDA Board. My name is Karabo Mohale. I am the Executive Deputy Chairperson of the NYDA, and I am originally from the Limpopo Province. Thank you.
Okay, shall I introduce myself next? Good morning, everyone. It is so exciting, I think, also from our side to be seeing you all again. Very exciting touching base. My name is Alexandra Proctor. I sit on the board of the NYDA. I'm also a member of the Investment Committee and the ICT Steering Committee.
Is there more board members attend?
Apologies, Chair. Yes, there are. There's Ms. Pearl Pillay, and then there's also Mr. Tulisa Ngela. So can I ask Ms. Pearl Pillay to introduce herself?
Thanks, Chair. I wasn't sure what the order would be. Good morning, Honourable Members. My name is Pearl Pillay. I'm on the NYDA board, and my province, the province that I come from is KZN, but I also moonlight in Gauteng occasionally. Thanks.
Good morning, Chair, and Chair of the Board and members of the committee. My name is Tulisa Ndlela. I am from KwaZulu-Natal. I sit on the board. Like the other member, Chair, I must apologize. I wait, but I should get to the office in the next 15-20 minutes.
Thank you very much. Honourable Members, I'll then ask the CFO to introduce herself, as well as the delegation that she is with from management. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members of the Select Committee. I'm Kuta Zumbezi, and I'm the CFO of NYDA, and I also come from Limpopo. I see Limpopo is very represented today, so I'm very happy to be part of this meeting. And then I'll have the rest of the Executive Directors introduce themselves. Thank you.
Good morning to the committee. My name is Siyabonga Ngambambo. I'm the Executive Director for Operations. Thank you.
Good
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Mashigi Duma. I'm the executive director for HR and Legal. Thank you.
Good morning, Chair and honorable members. Looks like my camera has issues. I'll sort it out. However, my name is Palisa Nozi. I'm executive director for ICT and communications. I also hail from the Free State, but staying in Gauteng. Apologies for the camera. I'll get it sorted just now. Thank you.
Good morning, honorable chair and the other members and the board of the NYDA. My name is Walter Bango. I'm responsible for the corporate strategy and planning within the NYDA, but I'm originally from Mpumalanga, Bushbuckridge. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I see on the platform we also have Ms. Ikanyeng from the Office of the CEO, as well as Ms. Micheline. So can I just request that they introduce themselves for the benefit of this meeting?
You are muted, dear. Can you unmute? There you are. Correct.
Good morning, honorable members. Good morning to the board of the NYDA. My name is Ikanyeng Masina Mela, senior manager and chief of staff to the CEO.
Ms. Micheline Mungai, can you also introduce yourself? All right. Apologies for that, honorable members. I suspect Ms. Micheline is struggling with connectivity. Honorable members, we also have Mr. Avela Mjajubana, who is in the platform. Mr. Avela is one of the board members. And Ms. Lebogang Molaisi had indicated that or requested to join the meeting slightly later, as she is in a work commitment at the moment, that it went beyond the expected time. So if I can just allow Mr. Avela to introduce himself to the honorable members.
Good morning, Chair. Greetings to the honorable members and the chair of the board, the management. My name is Avela. The surname is Mchachubana, from the province of the Eastern Cape. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Chairperson, what has happened to the video? We want to see their faces. We've seen them for the first time. I don't understand. If a person can talk to us, it means we can actually see them, you know?
Isabella.
At least they should make an effort to do that. I mean,
Isabella, just show your face.
Okay, let me try and sort out this video. Can anyone see me?
There you are.
Thank you.
And from the Eastern Cape. Okay, let's now introduce our staff members, starting from myself. I want to show this NYDA that we've got young people assisting us at back. Marcel.
Good morning, Chairperson, members, colleagues from the NYDA. My name is Marcel Williams, and I'm the committee secretary for the Select Committee on Health and Social Services. Thank you.
Tabi and yes.
Good morning, Chairperson, members and colleagues. My name is Tabile Keke. I'm the content advisor for the committee. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members and colleagues. My name is Mkululi Molo. I'm a researcher for the committee. Thank you.
Izuki, yeah.
Chizuki is having a connection issue. She is trying to sort it out with IT Jefferson.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Marcel. Now we can start. And I want to once again apologize for the error and thank Member Chabalin for reminding me that it's the first time that we can see the board. I want to now ask the person from the minister's office if he's got a message from the minister.
Thanks, Chair. We don't have the message, and we believe that the chairperson is capable to do that. Thank you, Chair.
That is so sweet and progressive, Mr. Matlala. Let me hand over then to Ms. Asanda Luwaka to then take us forward with the presentation. Thank you. Over to you, Asanda.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair and the Honourable Members, and good morning once again. Thank you also to the Select Committee for inviting us to present before the Select Committee. We are quite excited to be engaging the policymakers at your level, and we look forward to an enriching and a fruitful presentation or engagement. Now, Honourable Chair, my brief remarks this morning would really just to highlight the fact that, you know, we're meeting today, this morning, against, you know, the backdrop of Women's Month. And this month, or this year, the month would be celebrated under the theme Women's Social Economic Rights and Empowerment, Building Back Better for Women's Improved Resilience. So it is with this that, you know, I would wish to call on all progressive women to be part of, you know, in fact, society at large, to really be part of dismantling the patriarchal culture in our society. And furthermore, Honourable Chair, as an agency, we have the responsibility of contributing towards the realisation of particularly young women's socioeconomic rights, as well as their empowerment. Now, Honourable Members, as we are aware, the NYDA was established to be a single unitary structure that is aimed at addressing youth development issues across all spheres of government. Now, this understanding is what primarily informs our vision, our mission and values as the, I dare say, newly appointed board of directors, although we are 8 months into office right now. But I'm sure all of this will be further expanded when the CFO is making the presentation to the honorable members this morning. So really managed just to emphasize the fact that, you know, the work and yearly trajectory of the agency are informed in the main, you know, by the prerogatives that are outlined and set out in the annual State of the Nation Address, which really sets out the tone for government for the year ahead, as well as, you know, the budget speech that is presented by the Minister of Finance, which, you know, attaches the necessary resource allocation to that which has been identified by the President in his State of the Nation Address. Now, it is worth noting that both these instruments, and it's quite exciting for us to be coming into office against this backdrop, that both instruments have quite a substantial focus on youth development. And this is something that we haven't seen in you know, our quite young democratic dispensation. And it is something that we welcome and we celebrate. But honorable members, I dare say that, you know, young people are concerned about, you know, the rise in the multiple challenges that they are faced with. As the Honourable Chair would have alluded to in her opening remarks, their unfortunate reality is that young people bear the brunt of the triple challenges of unemployment, of poverty, of inequality, and all of this would have been fiercely compounded by, you know, the COVID-19 pandemic, which we are all still trying to recover from. So, but what is important to also emphasize is that
Despite all these challenges, we as the board are fully committed to ensuring that we work tirelessly to ultimately change the material conditions that young people find themselves in. And we are aware that the youth of this country are a population that is quite resilient. So when we say, you know, nothing about us without us, you know, it is precisely informed by the fact that the work of the agency should be positioned and propelled in such a way that it becomes, you know, the sole vehicle that is meant to mainstream youth development across all spheres of government. Now, honourable members, I really wish then to end off my remarks this morning by emphasising that, you know, given the aforementioned, ours as the board and as the agency is to hit the ground running and ensure that, you know, the priorities that we have set out for ourselves are realised. We cannot serve, you know, close to, you know, we can't be of service to the majority of the population without necessarily calling upon the relevant stakeholders, such as the Select Committee, so that we are able to collectively be part and parcel of the solutions that we would have identified in response to the plight of youth. Now, ours really, honourable members, is not necessarily to be preoccupied with reinventing the wheel, but building from what has already been achieved by our predecessors and the likes. And we are pleased to really announce to the Select Committee members that, you know, the agency would have now received 8 consecutive clean audits. And this is a finding that the CFO will further unpack in her presentation. And it is quite exciting because it is a clear indication that young people, if given, you know, the instruments to advance the agenda of the people, we are a population that is capable, that is committed and to good governance, and ensuring that, you know, the funds that are given to us are utilized in an effective and efficient manner. But with those words, honorable members, I want to appreciate the Select Committee once again for giving us this opportunity. And without necessarily wasting any more time, I would then request the CFO, who will then take the honorable members through the presentation that we have prepared for today's meeting. Thank you very much, honorable members, and allow me then to hand over to the CFO.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you once more, honorable members. I will not be putting on my camera just to make sure that we follow through in the presentation. I just want to quickly flag the presentation on the screen so that we check together. As the chairperson has already indicated, and I think all of us have already said in one way or the other, and we are aware that there is a high unemployment rate in South Africa, which is quite shocking and very painful for every one of us, whether young or old. And this comes from different things, coming from the fourth industrial revolution that is affecting jobs, COVID-19 that is a massive crisis and which globally people are still recovering from, and the fundamental structural challenges that exist within South Africa's economy that needs to be shifted in order for unemployment to be addressed. There's challenges also relating to basic education, lack of growing economy of the country, and the energy crisis. However, in the State of Nation Address, there was a reaffirmation that was done that the Presidential Youth Employment Intervention was announced and that there will be policy changes that will enable for some form of relief in the form of tax incentives in order to stimulate youth employment. And the NYDA, with its board and management and all staff, continue to support the implementation of the Presidential Youth Employment Intervention focusing on National Pathway Management Network and the revitalized National Youth Service and the Youth Entrepreneurship Agenda. The NYDA.
Apologies.
Yes, presentation.
Yes.
Yes.
Honorable members, I'm not too sure whether the presentation is visible on your side.
It is not, Madam Chair. There's no presentation on the screen, maybe. Okay.
There we go. Is it there now? Perfect. Thank you for that, Chair. And apologies, Honourable Members. So I'm still saying that with the youth unemployment remaining high in South Africa, the President announced on the 1st of December the new board that currently exists. And I must say we are working very well with them as management, and I think we are aligned in terms of the mandate and the day-to-day delivery, especially with our executive chairperson and executive deputy chairperson also being part of the daily running of the organization. The board of directors is collectively committed to continue the positive governance strategy of the agency in a meaningfully scale up the work of the agency and to fundamentally improve its communications and to reach to young people. The board has had 4 interactions since their appointment. As much as it's 8 months, a lot of work has been done and they continue to do a lot of work. They have met up with the portfolio committee of women, youth and persons with disabilities since their appointment, and they have also done several NYDA office visits, and they have been part of the NYDA project that the agency runs and the implementation thereof. The board is also pleased to indicate, as the chairperson has already said, that we have achieved our eighth clean consecutive audit. And what this means is that governance is in place and that the money that is being given to us in order to meet the requirements of our young people is actually being used for that matter. There was no fruitless or wasteful expenditure. And indeed, the external auditors were able to verify that the targets that were presented in the prior financial year were executed thoroughly. Now, coming to the board, the board's vision that they are running with and the overall framework that is being executed in the agency, the vision is that we want to be an organization that is credible, that is capable, and that is inclusive, and which is seen as an active development agency and being responsive to the needs of young people in South Africa. And the mission is to obviously mainstream youth issues into society through stakeholder coordination and to facilitate and champion youth development with all sectors of society. The value that the organization stands by is that of integrity, being accountable to the young people, the people who have given us this mandate, and obviously also the selected committee that has appointed the board, and us as management working with the board to ensure that we remain accountable, accessible, respectful and collaborative and stay agile, because we serve a young people and young people need us to be agile at all times. And what is the strategy in order to meet this outcome that we want to be accessible to meet the needs of young people? We have 4 pillars. Being economic participation through youth entrepreneurship. We need young people to start their own things, hire more people. And then we have decent and sustainable employment through the jobs program. We have social cohesion and capacity building through the revitalized national youth service and the coordination of integrated youth development. My colleagues will further elaborate on these key things once I hand over to them. Then we also have a 10-pillar approach on how to meet the objectives, not only in the current financial year, but in collaboration with everything that the agency needs to meet. We want to extend the revitalized NYS over the MTEF, medium term funding, and also to meet the target, at least 2,000 enterprises per year over the medium term, and to also extend our participation on CWP, which is the Community Works Program, from 1 province to 3 provinces in this current financial year. We have only been doing one province, which was Mpumalanga in the prior financial year, and we hope to be able to extend it to a further 3 provinces. To bring the remaining ERP models online to continue to support the youth through the ERP. So this is a technology that has been built in the agency so that young people can be able to connect with the projects that we and the assistance that we offer to them electronically and using technology. So as an organization, we want to be able to increase those models and ensure that there is easier access and one that doesn't cost young people. Then we want to also reduce the vacancy rate to 5%. So the organization currently is sitting just over 10% of vacancy rate. And in the broader presentations, there will be more reflection of what has caused that and what needs to be done, which the HR executive will speak to. And then we want to also be, we have dedicated the year 2023 as the year of customer service at the NYDA. Young people are obviously going through so much. When we are saying we want to be accessible, what does that mean? We want our young people to actually see the work that we're doing and have a form of appreciation that indeed they are receiving the care and the responsiveness that they seek from the agency. Also, we want to introduce training for both entrepreneurship and jobs training. We need more young people to be able to create jobs and also to give them the practical experiences that are required, because whenever they apply, they are told you need to have experience. So we seek to give the young people that experience that will enable them to be able to be attain the market and be able to be hireable. We also want to do recognition and reward achievement and stretched targets. So internally for the organization, we want to see employees actually being rewarded for going over and above their normal job, because as long as people stay motivated, then we are able to deliver on a bigger scale and also increase and stretch our targets to be able to do more. Because indeed, we are doing a lot. However, looking at the crisis of this country, there is far, far more that needs to be done. Then we have second progress reports on IYDS and status of the youth reports. Then I think with the presidential youth employment intervention, in the SONA, the president announced that there is a presidential youth employment intervention with South Africa's most bold and comprehensive plan, which will meaningfully tackle youth unemployment. This consists of five priority interventions over the next 5 years to address the crisis of youth unemployment. This is consistent with government's vision to see that youth development is located in all in one government department or entity, but rather it is a cut cross implementation that needs to be clear, and it is identified for both private sector, civil society, and organized labor. Now, just to showcase the pillars within the intervention plan. The plan is to have a central PYEI effort in the establishment of the National Pathway Management Network, which guides young people towards opportunities for learning and earning, which is very important. It's one thing to learn and have the training, but it's another to translate that into earning, because that's what distinguishes just giving young people grants to then actually them giving them sustainable livelihoods. In addition to this plan, the components relate to the demand of National Pathway Management Network, the demand led by skills development, local ecosystem enablement, and National Youth Service, which is where NYDA particularly is mostly involved. So we have the revitalized National Youth Service. This model of NYS is on experience gained through similar initiatives in the past. This is using 16 hours of participants, a young person's time per week, and they are able to leave the program and are able to then explore further opportunities for either training, employment, or entrepreneurship during their term of service. This eases the transition into follow-up activities, and it enables a strong focus on the principles of youth development, and it empowers participants to reflect on their future and take practical steps towards achieving their goals. All NYS participants receive stipends, which is more than the 350 grants, so that is great. And they are able to then, it provides them with the experience of earning their own money and potentially for the first time in their lives, being able to get motivated practically and also seeing the income that derives from the work that they do, which is quite encouraging. The NYS is also a main socioeconomic program of the Presidential Youth Employment Intervention. The State of the Nation address also set a target that we recruit 50,000 young people to the NYS. At the end of July 2022, which was the first quarter, we had 40,000 young people already who have been placed in this program and were receiving stipends within the NYDA. And we have youth service that contribute to civic responsibility and can commonly identify with the development and the national building. There is a great deal of work for them to do in reintegrating sports, arts and culture in the public schools, in tackling social problems such as alcohol and substance abuse, and gender-based violence, in supporting the early childhood development sector, protecting food security, and in building social solidarity in their communities. I mean, some of the things that I mentioned here are things that I think all of us are aware that are very pressing in our country, and there isn't a day that goes by where we don't hear about the subject matters. So having young people involved in this is really assisting a great deal in awareness and also development of the youth. So this is just a snippet of the achievement of the Presidential Youth Intervention to date as of end of the 2021 financial year. The platform had 12.9 million where young people had created their profiles, and out of that 550,000 young people had registered on ESA system. Within the youth intervention process and all the parties involved, there were 557 opportunity holders that were listed on SA Youth. We also had 358,000 young people who secured earning opportunities on SA Youth. That is a significant number, but again, when compared to the youth unemployment, one could say it's not that high, but the work is there and it's evident. Of the young people who received opportunities, 69% of that was female positions that were taken up. And then we also see that 30,000 young people received non-financial support from the NYDA and DSED. The non-financial would mean training, and we do and facilitate several forms of training that assist young people to then be able to use their skills to translate that into financial income. Then 75.8% of young people had received non-financial support from this DSBD, live in the rural area or township. And now this answers the question to say, of the 30,000, how much of that was actually for rural or young people who come from rural communities? So that shows that even the vision of the board to be accessible is also reaching rural areas. So I will hand over now in this part to Walter Bango, who will go through the programs and targets of the organization, and just to give a sense of where we are. Walter, do you want me to present for you, or?
Yeah, it's fine. You can present for me. Thanks, Honorable Chair and members, and with the board members once again. I think for me, I'm going to take you through, you know, the process that we go through when we develop our strategic plans and APPs, and well, of course, you know, in terms of programs and targets, which at the same time is to align with the budget that the NYDA has committed. Next slide. Yeah, so, of course, as we all know, that a strategic plan or an APP actually forms, a bigger part of the organization in terms of, taking ahead the strategic objectives or outcomes that have been set for NYDA. So there is a process that we need to follow in terms of us making sure that the strategic plan and the APP it is aligned in terms of the NYDA mandate. So there's quite a number of methodologies or approach that we need to apply. Well, of course, these methodologies that we need to follow, it's government cut across. So firstly, we'll have to engage with the DPME. to make sure that we follow all the strategic medium-term guidelines that are provided by DPME. Well, of course, there's the issue of the MTSF, which is the medium-term strategic framework, the priorities of government, the SONA and the budget speech, the BRR, which is actually a parliament process. You know, we at some time we actually received recommendations from Parliament in terms of how we should take our programs forward or projects that we might want to implement as the NYDA, the 25-year review, etc., etc. But well, of course, not also forgetting about the STEP SA reports. Then the NYDA strategic plan is also anchored around the priorities of government. But well, what we need to take into consideration is we need to then, as the NYDA, link our strategic outcomes and programs to the core priorities of government, so that our vision as the NYDA is actually tunneled towards one common goal of government. So the NYDA, in establishing our strategic plans and ATPs, we had actually set up three programs, which is the first program is around administration. And administration is mainly, you know, a support function, which actually provides support to all the core functions, which could be your NYS and operations, in terms of them being able to deliver the core mandate of the NYDA in terms of product and services and other programs that we might want to implement within NYS. And then program two, which we call program design, development and deliver. This is actually operations, where all our core programs find expression in the strategic plan or in the APP. So this is where you will see, you know, our flagship programs, like, for example, the grant, the NYS, will actually go in here in terms of the impact that we want to make to support young people out there. And then the last program that we have as the NYDA is the Integrated Youth Development. This is actually our research and policy, where we conduct a number of research studies, impact studies, where we had to go and do some evaluations or some research to find out or to check as to are we still on the right track in terms of the programs that we're implementing. And those research studies will actually give us some recommendations that we might want to improve in the way we do business to support our young people. And then program one, as I've indicated earlier on, is administration. There are core functions or deliverables from this support function. I think one of the key support functions is our human resource, which mainly focuses on performance management, you know, also gender work, life balance, strategy, you know, the issue of culture of service. Like, for example, in this in the previous financial year, you know, with the board, the NYDA has actually declared 21. For the financial year 2021-2022 onwards, a year of customer service, because we felt that we cannot continue to just you know, do business as usual, but not really taking care of our external clients, even our internal clients, in terms of customer service. And then the next one is a financial services. Well, this it's one of the sub-units within administration that is, you know, responsible to make sure that we maintain our governance and the issue of effectiveness and efficiency. Because also the APP, when it's being developed, it must also be aligned with the budget, so that our outcomes we were able to achieve them. And then the next support function, we've got our communications and ICT. This is also one of the support functions, which has to make sure that our communication strategy is being developed, you know, for to support our young people. You know, also there are partners that we work with. You know, also the issue of the media that we interact with from time to time. So they will make sure that strategy is being developed and is being communicated out there. and at the same time is being implemented to support the vision of the NYDA. And also, you know, continuing the issue of digitization of services in an inclusive and free manner. I think one of the bold steps that the NYDA has taken since from the beginning of the financial year, well, of course, working with the board, was to actually, you know, introduce what you call ERP, where we want to do away with the, you know, some of the manual processes that we have been, I mean, especially when it comes to performance, because we've been doing a lot of manual processes, and which is actually affect our efficiency in terms of service delivery. So ERP has been deployed in the previous financial year. I think we're looking at in this financial year to be at 100% with the processes that we have followed through to make sure that the ERP is going to enhance and support, you know, all our business platforms in terms of digitization. And then also, you know, communicating youth development work effectively, where we also, you know, took a decision that, you know, social media, most of young people, they are on the social media platforms. And we cannot ignore that platform, because from time to time, we need to communicate with the young people in terms of what is happening within the NYDA. If maybe there are new programs that have been introduced, it will be publicized on our website. It will be communicated through the social platforms so that young people are not left behind. They all participate in the programs that we have. I think the last support function within Program 1 is internal audit and risk, which, well, of course, is also responsible for governance issues in a value for money environment, because that is also one issue. I mean, governance is very important not to be neglected within the organization. And not also withstanding the issue that there are also, you know, challenges that we at times, you know, face as an organization, but, well, of course, there are no challenges that the NYDA, you know, we leave them aside and we don't actually put measures in place to deal with those particular challenges. And well, at the same time, there are also opportunities. Communicating to each sector, go back. Communicating to each sector within the youth development sector, it's also, you know, quite key for NYDA to be successful in implementing the vision. Leveraging of the presidents and communicating together in a whole of government approach, that is also quite key. I think there we have established quite a number of initiatives in partnership with presidency, you know, to make sure that we create platforms that support young people, like, for example, you know, the presidential youth employment initiatives, where young people can actually log in and access opportunities that might be available, whether by government in the private sector. And that seems to be also doing very well. Well, we know that there are some challenges when it comes to data, especially young people, you know, from the rural areas. But I think what the presidency has done is to make this platform to be data free, so you don't need data to can actually access this particular platform. And I think really that was a big initiative in that regard, ensuring that our ICT and data strategy does not also leave behind marginalized and vulnerable youth. Next slide, could you? So yeah, this slide actually it portrays you know, the core KPIs or targets that we have set for the organization. I think you can see there for the financial year 2022-2023, because the other years it's just our previous medium term targets, which have already been subjected to audit. We are also planning under this program to review and implement our annual workplace skills plan, which is within HR. We are also, you know, targeting about 150 million under value of funds sourced from the public and private sectors to support the youth development programs. Because We also felt that at the NYDA, we cannot implement youth development alone, but we need to forge some kind of partnerships with other organizations that might be out there from the public sector, but well, at the same time with government as a whole. And then also number of CETA partnerships established, and also we've forged partnerships with CETAs. We have committed to about 6 CETAs partnerships that we want to forge partnerships in terms of programs that might be available. But notwithstanding that, also there's been quite a number of initiatives that we implemented in partnership with CETAs from the previous financial year, as you can see there. In 2020, 2021, we started with 4, and then 2021, 2022, we had 6, and this year we had another 6, and we'll continue. I mean, in the next financial year, you can see there, the number is even growing bigger to 15 CETAs. And then we also committed in terms of partnerships that will sign technology companies, because we felt that, it's very important to have, our space that we deal with young people, to be innovative, because young people always, most of the time they want to find themselves, working in a space that is very innovative and where they can also, make a contribution or communication can be easily be accessible with the NYDA. And then the next one still under administration, we are going to review and implement our ICT strategic plan, indicating 75% achievement of ICT targets in the plan by end of the financial year. This is actually one of the compliance or governance issue that we need to do every year and make sure that an ICT strategic plan is being developed and being implemented. And then the next one, review and implement integrated communication and marketing strategy. And here we know that if we don't constantly review our communication and marketing strategy, because this has to do with the value proposition or the brand of the NYDA, it's actually a very important initiative that the NYDA from time to time must make sure that the communication strategy and marketing strategy is being reviewed at the same time to meet the expectations of young people out there. Produce and approve the NYDA strategic risk register. This is also one of the compliance strategic risk register that we have to do every year, because this strategic risk register, it also assists for us to identify key risks and at the same time come up with some mitigations plans as to if those particular risks occur, what is it that the NYDA is going to mitigate against those risks. Next slide. Still under admin, I think the last key points. Review the annual SCM procurement plan and produce portal reports. This is also quite key. And we know as well that, every year we also need to comply with Treasury. We need to submit a procurement plan. And this is also quite key because it details, all our processes in terms of procurement, what is it that we had committed to deliver in terms of supply chain and procurement. Develop an annual report on partnerships established with disability organizations, in promoting youth development. This is also quite key because we also, noticed as an organization, as the NYDA, that, this is one sector that has been ignored for so many years, where that could be job opportunities, where there could be any opportunities that might be available out there. Often than not, young people, persons with disability are being left alone, and that could be a number of reasons whereby they could not be able to access, some of the platforms or some of the organizations in terms of information for them to be assisted to acquire opportunities that might be have been availed by government and the private sector. But as the NYDA, we felt that every year we will develop a report, we go out and engage with most of the disability organizations that are available out there and forge some partnerships in terms of how we can work with them, to support this particular sector. 100% implementation and monitored ERP modules in all NYGA platforms. I think this is also one thing that I indicated earlier on when it comes to ICT and communications. So this is one key achievement what the NYGA has implemented to say we want to go on ERP where our processes are streamlined. We do away with the manual processes. We automate our performance. We automate some of the processes, whether it could be in HR, could be in finance, could be in operations, and also, I mean, at the same time, even our young people. I mean, back in the days, young people used to go to NYDA branches and queue for them just to apply for a grant. But now, with a click of a button, they can go to our website. They can simply apply for a grant without even traveling. Looking for NYDA branch. Next slide. I think this one, in terms of operations, I will hand it over to Siyabonga Mbambo as the head of operations.
Thank you, Walter. Once again, a good morning to the Honorable Chair and Honorable Committee members. I'll be taking through our product deliverables. Next slide, could you? So one of our key performance areas is economic development, and we deliver on economic development through youth entrepreneurship. Now, in terms of our youth entrepreneurship strategy, it is embedded on five key principles or priority areas. First one being training interventions. In terms of the training interventions, we're looking at business management training so that we can introduce young people to the world of entrepreneurship from idea generation up to scaling up your business. The second pillar is business consultancy services. In this pillar, we go out and look for business consultants who are seasoned in the sector to provide business consultancy services to these young people, be it in a form of business plan development, support with marketing collateral, accounting, business turnaround, human resource policies, and so on and so forth. We then have the grant program, which is basically an enterprise development program. It assist young people by providing them access to capital so that they can start their business ideas. We fund young people from 1,000 rand up to 250,000, depending on the needs of the business and at the stage at which the business is at. It's basically categorized into four thresholds. Threshold one, focusing on the informal businesses, which is from 1,000 rand up to 10,000. Threshold two, focusing on startup, but which are formalized, which means that you have to be CIPC registered, that is from 10,000 up to 50,000. Threshold three is from 50,000 up to 100,000. The difference is that you need to create an additional two jobs as opposed to threshold one, where you only have to create one job. And then threshold four, from 100,000 up to 250,000, where you have to create at least a minimum of three additional jobs in terms of the grant program. Then we've got a market linkages program where we go out and look for opportunities for young people who've got a minimum value product that they can sell. And then we go and look out for opportunities so that they're able to grow their businesses, and we link suppliers and people who require products and services through that program. And lastly, we have a mentorship program, which is a voluntary program, where we ask business owners or people who are seasoned consultants to assist young people by providing business mentorship and coaching so that they are able to grow their businesses. And this is quite critical in terms of business development. I also want to highlight that we've got quite a number of partnerships in terms of us delivering on these pillars. For example, we've just recently received funding from the UIF to expand our offering in terms of the grant program. By giving us an additional funding of about 40 million so that we can fund an additional 400 youth-owned enterprises. We also partner with Department of Small Businesses. Last year, we ran Challenger Fund. We have a partnership with CIFA where we refer some of the young people that we are unable to assist. In terms of CEDA, we have a partnership. They also assist us in terms of our mentorship program. We refer some of the young people to them. And in terms of the key challenges, one of the biggest challenges is that obviously we would like to assist as many young people as we can in terms of the grant program. However, the resources
are not sufficient enough. So the demand is way bigger than the supply itself. So we still have a challenge in that. And also, again, we also have a challenge in terms of reaching out as many young people as we can so that they are able to access our training intervention. And our intention to move all our trainings to a blended model where we have got both online and physical training. And then again, also the issue of attracting additional partners to partner on this is also important. Then the other pillar is decent youth employment through our jobs program. In terms of our youth employment strategy, we've got three pillars. We've got the job readiness and life skills training program, where we train young people about life skills in terms of effective communication, interpersonal skills, issues about personal finance. And then in terms of job readiness, we teach them about CV writing, how to prepare for interview, how to present yourself, how to behave in the work world, and how to prepare for a transition from education to the employment world. And then in terms of the National Pathway Management, this is an initiative from the president and in partnership with the public and the private sector, where government is coordinating a centralized pathway that puts together opportunities into a central repository through a mobile app where opportunity providers register opportunities and young people register themselves. So we're linking young people to job opportunities through this zero-rated app. So our job is basically to get young people into the platform and also to make sure that we recruit people who offer job opportunities to register on the app, and then the app does the matching. We also implement skills development program in partnership with CIFA. We're currently training about 558 artisans through the services status program. We are training about 100 through theater, and there are other programs that we are also going to be implementing with the insurance sector and other related sector. Next slide, please. So in terms of our targets from an NTM perspective, last year we had a target of about 2,000. Again, you will see that in the current financial year, that target is also 2,000. I must indicate why you don't see a difference is that target was 1,500, but due to an injection that we got through the midterm budget review from National Treasury, we were then able to stretch it to 2,000. But due to limited resources, again, we were not able to stretch this target of 2,000. So what we've done is that through the funding that came through from UIF, we were able to maintain it at 2,000. So again, the issue of financial injection and resources around the grant program remains a challenge. We would like to do more, but the budget simply does not allow us. So ideally, if we could get an additional injection there, obviously we'll be able to do more. In terms of business development support services, we were able to assist 20,000 young people, and we intend to increase that to about 25,000. This talks to entrepreneurship development training, business development support services, market linkages, and mentorship. In terms of the number of jobs created, we were able through our entrepreneurship development program to create 6,000 jobs through enterprise development support programs that we're offering, which is mainly the grant program and the voucher program. And in terms of the number of beneficiaries supported through business development support services, we supported 2,500 last year, and this year we're targeting to support 1,000 again due to limited number of budget. In terms of other deliverables, in terms of the pathway management, we intend to capacitate over 75,000 young people that are also going to be ready. These young people will be capacitated on life skills and job preparedness, and they'll also be assisted to register on the pathway management network. And we are targeting to place them in at least about 10,000 job opportunities. Next slide, please. The methodology that we use in terms of setting our targets, on average, we say we offer a grant of about 40,000 per young person. So if you times that with our target of 2,000, it equates to about 80 million for the grant program. In terms of the number of our jobs created, which are derived from the entrepreneurship program, we have a conversion ratio of 3:1. In other words, we are saying for every grant that we issue, there's a conversion ratio of 1, so meaning that our target for jobs is 6,000. Then in terms of non-financial business development support services, which in this instance is business management training, this is done over a period of 5 days, training about 30 young people in a classroom of between 30 to 25. So the target there is 25. And then mentorship, this is derived from the grant program target of 2,000 young people that are funded. And we are saying that we need to mentor at least 80% of those young people, which converts to 1,600. And then over and above that, we've also set ourselves to say there will be other people who are coming outside that from the grant program who want these services. And we've added a target of about 4,400, taking us to 21,000. And then in terms of job preparedness, which is a two-day training, we intend to train about 45,000 young people. In terms of the CETA training programs, I've indicated that we already have about 558 from the services CETA. We also have got CHIETA, and we also have got the services CETA. We are in discussion with Foodbank CETA as well. So all in all, we are targeting to train about 55,000. And then in terms of the pathway management network, we intend to register about 10 young people which are going to access job opportunities through the pathway management network. And then in terms of the NYS program, which is the National Youth Service Program, we are looking at implementing partnership NYS programs with at least 60 government departments in this year. We will also be producing an annual report that will tell us about the state and the role of other government departments in the NYS program and what programs are they implementing. And then in terms of the number of young people that are participating in the expanded volunteer program, we intend to have about 11,000. These are young people who volunteer. They could either be involved in early childhood development. They could be assisting in repairing schools, in fixing community gardens, early childhood, in assisting the elderly, so on and so forth. And then in terms of the community works program, we are assisting 7,000 young people in Mpumalanga on the community works program to transition out of the NYS program to other job opportunities. And then in terms of the number of young people securing service opportunities, we're currently implementing a youth service program where we've got about 35,000 young people who are volunteering in respective programs, be it assisting young people in aftercare, post-school education, be it in physical education and training, so forth and so forth. And also through this program, again, I've indicated that we are transitioning 7,000 young people into the world of work, which are currently in the CWP program. Next slide, please. So the NYS program is basically made up of three pillars. One, we are looking at revitalizing the program. This means that we are rebranding the program. We are also getting involved other stakeholders that would have lost interest in the past. So we are reviving the program. We are also sourcing out financial resources, and through the president, through National Treasury, we are also gathering information in terms of the status of the program around the country so that we are a repository of information and a database of what is happening around the program. But also we are also looking at skills development program that will assist young people to transition out of the program, because it's not necessarily an employment program per se, but it's more a transitional program of getting young people out of education into the world of work by volunteering their services and time so that they can transition. We are doing that in part, we are also doing that through the community works program, which by its very nature is also part of a national youth service program. And we are also resuscitating the coordinating structures and the framework where we are coordinating municipalities, provinces, and national government in terms of the implementation of the NYS so that it's implemented at all these three different spheres. And then I've indicated, so the target for the EVP, it's 10,000, and the budget that is allocated is 5 million. The community works program, it's 5,000, and the budget allocated for paid service is 72 million, and the revitalized NYS, the target there is 30,000. And we are paying stipends to the value of 200 million. Thank you, Chair. I'll hand over to my next colleague.
Thanks, Chair. I think from my side, Chair, I'm going to take you through program three within our strategic plan in the APP. So this program is called Integrated Youth Development. This is more about, you know, the coordination to integrated youth development, because you know, as the NYDA, we acknowledge that in order for us to implement youth development, we cannot do this alone. We can forge partnerships. We need to work with other government departments. Well, of course, not also forgetting about the private sector, because also they make a huge contribution towards supporting young people. So one of the key achievement in this program that the NYDA has actually done, we actually had been instructed, you know, after the National Youth Policy by the department, the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disability, they actually developed a National Youth Policy, which was subsequently approved. And then the minister then instructed the NYDA to can go and develop an integrated youth development strategy to actually implement the policy. But well, of course, this is also within the mandate of the NYDA in terms of the NYDA Act. We then developed the IYDS, which was then on the 15th of June was presented to cabinet, which was chaired by the president, and the IYDS was approved to say we need to work together with other entities out there that are responsible to implement youth development. So all of government organized, business organized, labor, civil society, they need to play a role. So in this current financial year, we will be preparing a status of youth report that we will share with either the young people or the stakeholders out there, so that they can all know or understand what is happening within the youth sector in terms of the work that we are doing. But at the same time as well, there is internal and external monitoring and evaluation that we do, because from time to time we need to conduct evaluation studies, which will assist even management to can actually, you know, to make informed decisions in terms of the recommendations that might come out from those studies. But at the same time, you know, share those experiences or those success stories with our young people out there. Well, of course, using our platforms within the NYDA. But at the same time, we had also committed that on an annual basis as the NYDA, we'll convene what we call an integrated youth summit, where we invite all our stakeholders, you know, including the private sector and labor, and even, you know, youth-led organizations, to share with them what are the significant achievements that young people have benefited, supported by NYDA and also other entities that are responsible for youth development, as NYDA has been also mandated to coordinate those significant achievements, and at the same time, you know, to conduct research and development, you know, across, because, you know, the youth sector it's quite broad, and innovation as well has taken, you know, center stage, because we cannot keep on doing the same programs from time to time. But we go out there, conduct some research studies that will give us, you know, some guidance, recommendations in terms of what is it and how we can you know, improve some of the programs that we are implementing. I think this is also one of the key issues, amendment of the NYDA Act. I think sometime last year, we started the process of amending the NYDA Act. I think in terms of the progress of the amendment of the Act, it has gone to Cabinet, and Cabinet has recommended to go to Parliament. And I think Parliament is still doing the final round of consultations. But, well, of course, management has done an extensive role, you know, working together with the department, you know, to make sure that all other elements that goes into the NYDA Act are being covered. I mean, we went as far as engaging labor, NEDLAC, and civil society, private sector, you know, even our stakeholders within a government as a whole. Then the next slide. It's around youth employment targets at national level. I think here, Chair, we know that, you know, there was quite important employment stimulus at national level. And I think during the pandemic, you know, COVID, this became, you know, a significant initiative, you know, by the president himself, you know, to say we need to play a role, even as the NYDA come up with programs that we can support young people, even our SMEs, that we support as young people. Then, in terms of departments, we have programs like the jobs and the livelihoods programs within the departments, which is basic education employment initiative, vote 16 basic education, and the number of jobs that we are working to create there. About 300,000, vote 39, trade, industry, and competition, which is about, you know, the programs of social employment fund, forestry, value chain, and the VAR, which is about 10,000 opportunities, which are aimed to be created there. Vote 20, which is the Department of Women, Youth, and Persons with Disability, you know, in terms of the National Youth Service. I think earlier on, my colleague also emphasized that, you know, National Youth Service program is quite a key program. Even about when they actually, you know, started within the NYDA, when we went at a strategic session, they actually, you know, spent some time on the National Youth Service, where they felt that, you know, we need to revitalize the National Youth Service program, because it actually, you know, plays a bigger role within the communities of young people. You know, a lot of programs need to be created, you know, to support young people within the National Youth Service. So there, the number of job opportunities, we're looking at 50,000. Vote 8, which is the National Treasury, where we've got there the Metro PEP Innovation Grant, placemaking in township, informal settlements and inner cities. And in terms of opportunities there, we're looking at 40,000. Higher education and training, and here in terms of the programs, we're talking of graduate placements in HET, which is higher education and training institutions. We're looking at 5,000 there, and pay for performance model, which we are also looking at 5,000. Vote 37, which is sports, arts, and culture. Stimulus to the sector, which are significant programs, and this is also part of National Youth Service program, because sports, arts, and culture also plays a critical role within National Youth Service. But in terms of opportunities, we're looking at 20,000 catalytic interventions that also should go into the stimulus to the sector. Vote 31, employment and labor. Pathway management network, we're looking at 500 opportunities that are going to be availed to young people. Vote 39, trade, industry, and competition. Challenge fund for digital-based market intermediaries. This is also one of the key programs that we're looking at implementing, and we're looking at about 2,500 opportunities. Next slide.
Just to emphasize, committee members, sorry for interjecting there. So this is the full ecosystem budget across national level. The complete number of opportunities and jobs is 950,000, with 15 billion allocated to the whole national level youth intervention, whereas NYDA is only getting the 685 million from the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disability. So I just wanted to clarify that. You can proceed.
All right, thanks. Could you... Chair, I will hand over to our head of HR.
Thank you, Walter. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I will proceed and take you through the organizational structure and just briefly highlight the reporting lines. So as you see, we have six subcommittees, and these subcommittees, they report directly to the board. So there is an executive management committee, and that is responsible for the CEO and the executive deputy office. And there is also audit committee, which is responsible for financial services, investment committee, accountable for projects and programs within the agency. And then there is a human resources and a remuneration committee, which is responsible for human resources. We have ICT steering committee, which is accountable for ICT and communications. There's also social and ethics committee, which is responsible for corporate social investment, national youth services, and the ethics within the agency. So the subcommittees, they report directly to the board, and then the board of directors report to the presidency, and then there is another line to the Minister of Department of Women, Youth and People with Disabilities. And then if we move over to, this is a functional structure. So we, if you look at this functional structure, they three support functions. So those support functions, it's financial services, communication and ICT, HR and legal. And then our core function, which is operations, that's the fourth function that we have within the agency. They report directly to the office of the CEO, and underneath the office of the CEO, we have corporate strategy and corporate investment. And then we do have an office of an executive directors, and they report directly to the board. And then financial services is actually responsible for finances of the organization and supply chain. Communications and ICT, financial services, they also look at the facilities function. And then communications and ICT, they look at the communications and ICT of the agency HR. It's HR and legal. Then the core function, which is operations, there is a function of NYS, this is National Youth Services, jobs, youth entrepreneurship. We also have 44 branches and centers that are across nationally. Then if you move over to the next slide, just to highlight the positions that we have advertised, this is just to highlight the vacancy rate that we have within the agency. So there were, if you could go back, quickly to that slide. There were about 66 positions that were vacant, but because we have the funding that we have received from public sector, CETA, so what we have done through that funding or that partnership that we have with PCTA, we have advertised and appointed like 49 interns on a two-year program. They started working on the 1st of June 2022. And then there are other positions that we have that will be filled on a permanent basis. Those positions have been advertised, and most of the recruitment is underway. And obviously we do align with the employment equity plan that we have in the organization to make sure that we achieve our target that has been set. Thank you, Kuti. And then the post that we have, that if you look at the vacancy rate, we're comparing as at the 1st of April 2022, we were sitting at 16% in terms of the vacancy rate. But if you look at the projections now, especially with the recruitment underway, we're looking at a projected vacancy rate of 3.7%, which is below 5% as per the target that has been set by the agency. But the total number of the positions in terms of the structure, there are 512, and currently the positions that are filled, there are 427, and the recruitment that is currently underway is 66, and we have a total number of 85 vacant positions. Thank you. I'll hand over back to Walter. Or is it Kuti?
I think it's me. Thank you so much, Masiki. I hope we're still all awake. I just want to come to the financial information, and I won't go on the methodology because it aligns with how all the planning of the agency takes place, because the numbers basically derive from the various projects that the organization does. So as I give the detail of the financial, it'll give a better perspective of the projects and how the numbers, how the finances that we are allocated are then implemented in the organization. From a revenue point of view, we are sitting in the prior year, we had 974 million that was allocated to the agency. And in the current financial year, we have 757 million that has been committed to be given to the agency. Of that, the Department of Women, Youth and Development, I mentioned that gave us in the previous slide that Walter presented, that it's 680 somewhat, because that includes money that was received in the prior year with the midterm budget revised. So a portion of it relates to the prior year and some of it to the current year. So overall, we have 481 in the current financial year from the department. Then we have donor funded income of 69 million, and we have interest income that is derived from our banking facilities of approximately 5 million. Then the Presidential Youth Employment Fund of 200 million. So this combined, this 200 and the 481 will be that 685 orders that I showed in the ecosystem of how the implementation for the agency in terms of funding is then tied to us. Then in terms of the increase or how much of this fund in the current year, how the progress is in the current year. So we have received 2% additionally, which when added with the, when you look at the Presidential Youth Employment, it looks like a negative, but that's because in prior years we didn't have that, and that amount basically does not have a comparative, but it doesn't mean it's a reduction. And then we have donor funded that increased by 5%, interest income by 67% because we have more funds in the bank, so that interest income will surely come through and will enable us to then do more for our young people. And then coming to the expenditure budget, by program, which is some of the programs now that we have had Walter and Sia speaking to. Administration, which is mostly HR or internal resourcing and a lot that goes in there. We have budgeted that in the current financial year, it would be 86 million spent on that, because also we need to fill the vacancies that have been mentioned, which are key, especially when, because we have extended branches, so we need to fill those vacancies in order to meet the demands of the young people. Then we have economic participation, which is allocated 185 million. Then integrated youth development, which is 5.1 million. Decent employment through jobs program, which is 68 million. And the national youth service, which is 205 million, leading to 551 million. And then employee costs, which are now going to be its payroll would be 206 million. This is, in, like I mentioned, is to ensure that we are able as an organization to meet the needs of the young people. I just also want to highlight that this numbers link to the targets that we have been shown, and also we were also shown how the targets were determined, and it is shown by also how the numbers will also play out. So the budget is driven and aligned by the priorities and the annual plan, annual performance plan, the APP, and the funds then are then utilized to ensure that we meet those targets. Then I just want to highlight, in terms of the office costs, in terms of rental alone, the head office in Joburg incurs 40 million. Then we have regional offices across the different provinces and districts. The rental cost of 21 centers and two districts is 16 million. And then the rest of the branches, being the centers and the districts, 17 in total. You can see there that there is no amount that is incurred, because we also have agreements with some of the municipalities where we don't actually, we use their facilities without incurring any costs. So this also goes to the cut through
initiatives to ensure that everyone is chipping in to better the youth of South Africa. Then coming to the cost of employment in terms of program, the administration program or product is 73 million, economic participation 89 million, integrated youth service is 1.4 million, and then the jobs fund 32 million, national youth service 8.3 million. The increases also speak to also what has already been spoken about in terms of targets and the increases thereof, and where increases were not done, what were the constraints. So I won't speak into that again. And then in terms of the outreach programs, we have operational divisions, which is 400,000, and the Office of the Executive Board, which is 774. This is also aligned with that, and this is only with travel. So when I say a lot of work has gone in this 8 months, I think they have been traveling and ensuring that they do speak to the young people and they are seen and known that they are active. And then we have outreach programs, which has incurred 1.1 million, or we have underspent there for the first quarter, and then executive board office 3.9 million. This is also in line with their budget, so there is no spend that is not, which I do not monitor. So we are still within and we are doing what the budgets were attained for. And then we have committed donor funding budget, which essentially speaks to how we got to that donor funding income that I mentioned at the top. We have ETDP CETA, which in the current year has pledged 6.5 million for internship program. We have NYS Flemish donor funding, 2 million for research. I'll just skim through them because I am cognizant of time. Then we have Industrial Development Corporation of 1 million. Then we have Public Service CETA, which pledged 4.8 or allocated 4.8 million. And overall, in terms of donor funding, we have 69 million that we have received. Then speaking about the expenditure budget by nature, we have the administration and overhead. So this is just a further breakdown of how the different programs will actually be implemented on a ground or facilitating level. Then we have administration and overhead, the 70 million in the current year, which is a 17% reduction. Communication and ICT, 41 million, which is a 4% decrease from the prior year. This is because ERP has most of the models have been implemented, so in the current year this should be lesser. But communications and ICT also includes laptops, so when we are hiring more people, it means also more laptops. So this is actually a good thing that it is a decrease, even though with increased human resources. Then we have audits. As much as we get clean audits, they are paid. AG South Africa is paid 5 million or is budgeted to be paid 5.6 million in the current year. And then we have risk and legal 3.4, human resources 7.5, travel and accommodation 23 million, project and disbursement. So the travel and accommodation looks like an increase because at some point there was a lag between the new board coming in, so there were, and also there was COVID. So the travel and accommodation was not taking place as it should. That's why you will see this increase. So it's explainable and it's within the mandate of what we need to do. Then we have project disbursement, grant and voucher disbursement of 94 million, NYS 200 million, and then that is leading up to the 543 million. Then additionally, we have employee cost of 206 million, capital expenditure, because when we in some of the branches, we need to buy office furniture. The budgeted is 7.8 million to meet up with the capital requirements, and in total, this makes up the 757 million that we have in the current financial year. So the additional 100 million odd over and above the allocation is then through donor funding, like I've explained. Then I will now hand over, so that is the finances. I'll hand over to Palisa to come in and talk about the integrated marketing and communication strategy for the organization.
Thank you. Let me just give an indication that I've allowed you a lot of time. So for the last part of the presentation, if we can be quicker, please, because we will run out of time.
No, thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I'll try to be brief as requested. If we may move to the Next slide. So in terms of our strategy, Chair, we continuously use our mixed strategy, which will mean that we use the traditional media, but also social media, because we are cognizant of the fact that young people, most of them are in social media, but for those who are not, we use other platforms to communicate with them. And also, as Elia alluded to, we continuously try to transition our organization into a digital organization so that young people can easily access us. But we continuously also work with other organizations so that there is cross-messaging in terms of the opportunities that young people can actually access from the different platforms. I won't go into detail around them. I think the ERP system is one of our of the systems that we have put in place where we want young people to be able to access our products and services through the button click of the finger. And we are ensuring that at least young people are able to access our services. So far, Chair, we are having about 154,000 young people who are active in that platform of ERP, and we think it's doing well, and the young people are receiving it well, even though we've just launched it not too long ago. In terms of the rural reach, we have spoken about social media, but we know that young people in rural areas are also still struggling really to access some of the services that government is giving, especially NYDA. And we are also cognizant of the fact that we are not in all municipalities like we would have liked to because of the limitations of resources. So we use other methods to really reach out to young people so that they know who we are and what we can do really to uplift their livelihoods. So we make use of our outreach vehicles where we'll then, and mobile offices where we'll then go into outreach into rural areas. We also really disseminate information through the kiosks that we have purchased so that young people can just go. So most of these kiosks are based in different malls in the country. They are not that many, but they do assist where young people are not able to go into our offices. And I've already spoken about mobile offices, which we are also trying to procure more so that we can go into more deep rural areas. Outreach activations is one of the strategies that we use. So here, this is where we'll go into schools, into institutions of higher learning, or into different communities where we gather young people together to say, this is who we are, these are the opportunities that exist for young people, and this is how you can access them. We also make use of partnerships with community media, because we also understand that they have also a reach for those who are listening to your radio stations or your community newspapers to just also publicize the work that we are doing. We also make use of our district offices, especially those that are in the deep rural areas, for the workings of young people. We continuously also engage with NGO, private sector, and generally societal organizations that have the same goals as the NYDA to make sure that we also disseminate information. All our district centers and branches have got free Wi-Fi, so young people who might want to come and, you know, apply for our services or apply for services that would be beneficial to them, they are able to use those internet cafes that we have in our branches to look for information and to apply for services across the country. And we have also enhanced our customer services. We have a toll-free number for young people who may wish to talk to us. Maybe there's something that they're not understanding or something that we have posted. We use the toll-free number for them to be able to call and speak to one of our service agents. We also go through different campaigns, whether it's June month, whether it's back to school, to make sure that we also amplify the messaging of the NYDA. We also work through the sponsorships that we give to community-based organizations who are doing well and who are also continuing with the goal of uplifting the lives of young people. Recently, we've also launched an influencer campaign. Those who are in the social media will know that these influencers, some of them are also doing great in making sure that they highlight the important things that are that might be beneficial to young people. And this is one of the campaigns that we've been embarking on, and we are looking at expanding. One thing that I just want to highlight, Chair, is that we are cognizant that as much as we are going to social media and we're talking about ERP, we know that data prices are still very high, And we are working on a plan as we are in partnership with SA Youth.mobi, which is a zero-rated app where young people can access it for free. And we are trying to interlink what they are doing and what we are doing here so that at the end of the day, young people can have can consume our services free of charge without them having to pay something. Thank you, Chair. Back to you, Kuti.
Thanks, Palisa. Through you, Chair, I just want to bring in the last speaker to just present the final slides, Walter.
Thanks, Kuti. Chairperson. I think I will try to be brief because I see here it's about 10 slides. I think most of the things I've already alluded to. So I think this slide is more about the youth with disabilities and to say what is it that the NYDA it's doing. And here what we did, we actually developed sometime last year a strategy that we will monitor and implement in terms of persons with disability programs that we have, products and services. And we've started actually with our branches to begin, you know, to consider persons with disabilities. Because most of the challenges was they were not able to access our facilities, but we have set a budget aside, you know, to deal with that so that all our facilities should be accessible, but most of them are accessible. And as we know that also there are some, issues of materials or documentation that we need to prepare for them because there are different kinds of disabilities that we also need to, you know, support. And then also through the partnership that we have with some of the organizations, I think we are getting there and we've set aside targets that are in our operational plans with operations and we are beginning to implement that. And next slide, in terms of legislative amendments, I think this slide I will skip, Chair. Yeah, it's about the integrated youth development strategy I think I spoke about earlier on and also the issue of the act. The next one, I think relationship between the NYDA and government. So there's quite a number of stakeholders that the NYDA work with. I can say almost all government entities are working with the NYDA, where there could be opportunities that are being availed. I mean, for example, with the partnership that we have with the presidency, with the Harambe, you know, Department of Labor, the CITAS, presidential youth employment interventions, Department of Education, provincial governments. But over and above, I think the integrated youth development strategy is also going to assist because that's a plan that says, okay, yes, we can see NYDA, you can do so much given the budget that you've got and all of that. But what about the other government entities that are also implementing part of the youth development? So through the integrated youth development strategy, that we will work together to ensure that it's being implemented. Next slide, Kuti. So this is actually, you know, specific interventions, and especially with the health department. So we felt that, you know, a healthy young population is very critical for South Africa's development and the country. At large, and we need, you know, to make a contribution towards that in supporting our young people. The National Youth Service also seeks to reinvigorate in every community in South Africa a healthy physical lifestyle through the revitalization of sports programs. As we know that the National Youth Service programs has got quite a number of programs that are being initiated, you know, to support young people within their communities. It also tackles social ills such as alcohol and substance abuse through peer-to-peer support groups. Young people as well in the National Youth Service are also, you know, supporting public health care, for example, serving as, optometrists. As an example, in rural clinics, the NYDA board has also resolved to create a legacy program in respect of mental health to support young people. And mental health, we know that most of young people are suffering, you know, from this particular challenge where we felt that you know there is a need that we need to make some specific interventions to actually try to support, assist our young people to overcome this particular challenge. The NYDA is also embarking on a large scale campaign with the Department of Education, Health and Transport, as well as alcohol companies on building awareness and education on the dangers of alcohol abuse and to prevent underage drinking. I think this we might have seen in the previous month what happened in the Eastern Cape, which really is unacceptable for young people to be engaged in such behavior. The NYDA has also formed part of the South African National AIDS Council, the National Youth HIV Prevention Strategy. I think this was also launched sometime earlier this year by the president somewhere in Limpopo. And the strategy will be driven through a robust communications campaign over a three-year period from this current financial year until the end of the term, which is 2025. It also emphasizes the need for youth-led approaches in the development, coordination, and operationalization of key youth interventions that we need to put in place. And the strategy also seeks to reach all young people in the diversity of, adolescent boys and young men, youth with disabilities, and youth living with HIV are not left behind in the country's response to HIV, TB, STIs, etc. And well, of course, the development of the strategy has been guided by priorities outlined in various policy documents, such as the NDP, the National Adolescent and Youth Health Policy, etc. Next, I think Chair, the presentation has come to an end. I will hand it over back to you, Chair, and the
Thank you so much, Chair, and honourable members. Thank you, honourable Chair, for indulging us and allowing us to present. We are done and are open to any questions and discussions that you may pose to the board and ourselves. Thank you so much.
Let me take the opportunity to thank all of the presenters under the leadership of the chairperson and the board of NYDA. Members, I will open up now for questions. I see Member Chabaling, Member Paga, Member Christian, and Member Matuli. In that order, Member Chabaling, you can start. Member Chabaling. Okay, Member Paga, we can come back if Member Chabaling is not available now.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, I think that it's worth noting that it was a very long presentation, but I guess it's important to have it because it's the first of this NYDA leadership that we appointed. So I guess it's long, but I think that it was important to get to the bottom of the details. Chairperson, three questions from my side. And I think that they've been touched somehow, but not into much detail. One, to what extent is the NYDA providing support to young people living both in urban and rural areas? Has the NYDA evaluated its interventions? If so, kindly share the evaluation report with the selected committee. The second one, Chairperson, the Deputy Minister of Health, Deputy Minister Sibongiseni Dhlomo, emphasize mental health as a priority. And I think that also this was touched in the presentation, especially by the last speaker, wherein he indicated issues relating to mental health. And we know that this is a challenge that young people are confronted with, especially after the COVID-19 issues that we've had. Now, what I want to check is there any kind of interaction that is there between NYDA and the Ministry of Health to kind of get to the bottom of trying to resolve issues of mental health? The last one, Chairperson, there was also a mention in terms of the civil society. I did hear someone in the presentation talking about it. But I want to get a sense of how is NYDA working with civil society to ensure proper support and synergy to make sure that both parties play a meaningful role in the betterment of young people. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Member Baha. Is Member Chabaling available? If not, we can continue with member questions.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. And from my side, I would just like also to thank the members of the NYDA for the presentation. I think it was very well done. And I mean, they've really given us a lot of information to think on. And and just to wish them luck also going forward. My questions to them is, first of all, about the unemployment, especially amongst the youth in the country. So, and together with that, you know, the dropout rate at schools is currently so high, and we've recently heard that just over a quarter of South African students drop out before the end of matric, which is terrible. Now, and this is especially from homes, from poorer communities where the dropout rate is so high. And this obviously impacts more young girls than boys. It affects more young girls. So from the NYDA side, what youth programs do you have to addressing the issue of school dropouts, especially amongst young girls? And then my second question is, we all know, and I won't go into detail with it because I think we are all living and experiencing it, the socioeconomic challenges in the country have increased dramatically over the last few years. And poverty, unemployment, etc., especially amongst our youth, is at an all-time high. And it seems to me that our youth are now inclined to drug abuse, maybe because they're feeling hopeless and worthless, etc., because there's no jobs to be found. And they somehow seeking to find some kind of relief, you know, some kind of escape route. So what programs is the NYDA dedicating their time to addressing drug abuse, especially in schools? Does the NYDA have programs directed specifically to schools addressing drug abuse? And if so, where? Which schools, which provinces, etc.? And then something which is very near and dear to my heart is sexual and reproductive health amongst our youth, and especially amongst our girl children. Now, in collaboration with the Health Department, what programs do you have in ensuring access to sexual and reproductive health for both men and women, but especially for our young girls? Because I think we've also recently read that teenage pregnancies are also at an all-time high, which, referring back to the dropout rate, also increases that, which in turn causes our young girls not to return to schools. So what programs do you have in place in collaboration with the Department of Health to somehow curb or bring more awareness to teenage pregnancies? And obviously to keep these mothers in school then, if they do give birth, if and when they do give birth. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you, Member Christian. Member Letuli.
Thank you, Chairperson, and please forgive me for my video. We have load shedding. But one would like to welcome the presentation by NYDA. It was a long one, but worth it. so we appreciate it. Member Bacha has covered me in some of my questions that I wanted to ask, but since I come from rural area in Dwetu, KZN, I want to know from NYDA, what programs do they have for rural young people? Because you find that they don't even know what are the duties of the NYDA. So do you have programs to go to these deep rural areas to introduce yourself and to assist our young people? And also the issue that our member Christine has touched, especially in pregnancy in schools. I also want to know, is there any working relationship with the Department of Health and also Department of Education to assist young girls in schools? Thank you.
Thank you, Member Latuli. Is a member traveling on the platform? If not, let's move to Member Njube.
Thanks. Thank you very much, Chairperson of the committee. My apologies for my video being off. I'm battling with the network where I am here. Let me welcome the presentation by NYDA and say, like anybody else, that we wish them good luck on their journey to save the youth of this country. But I just want to indicate to the person that I have been largely covered by my colleagues who have raised questions before me. But I just want to check, Chen. I saw that under human resources, it is said that the 66, I think there are 66 vacant positions that are advertised, and then 49 will be internships, and then 17 will be permanent. I just want to check, when are they going to be filled? Because more often than not, we know that many institutions and many departments they normally fail because they do not have a lot of people that are doing the work that the institution needs to be doing. So I want to check, when are they going to be filled, the 66? And secondly on that, I think it had said that there are 85 vacant positions, and then the recruitment is 66, difference is 19. I want to check, since they have advertised only 66 posts, what is going to happen with the 19 that is not advertised, Chairperson? Secondly, I think it's the cost of office. It said that, if I read correctly, it said that the NYDA is renting, I think, offices. I'm not sure. But something like that, NYDA is renting offices. I think the cost is over 31 million. I just want to check, why can't NYDA build offices maybe through public works and redirect that 31 million to something that will be able to harness good results for the youth of this country? Because we can't be spending 31 million. I'm not sure if it's yearly or it's monthly, but we can't be spending 31 million to rent when the NYDA is really the program of government. Those are my two questions, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Member Chubby. I believe Member Chabaling is trying to be allowed in the meeting. If the administration can check for me on that one, please. And then Member Tongeni has put the two questions on the chat. From my side, I've got two questions. The first one is, I've noticed also the press statement of the Minister of Home Affairs. Can you explain, so that young people who is listening or sign in on this meeting,
and know what the processes is, how they can apply. I think that is a very good initiative coming from that department, because the minister has outlined that they've got a lot of prospects for the young people to apply for that position. And my second question is, in your presentation, you talk about working together with community-based organizations. I don't think that maybe the public knows how to deal with that. If you can explain to us how you are working with community-based organization who is doing some youth upliftment programs in their communities, because I think that will also assist us going forward in bringing the services of NYDA right down to the doorstep of young people within their communities. Thank you. If Member Chabaleng is not in the meeting yet, I will ask Member Chabaleng to maybe put his questions in writing, and then that questions can be forwarded to Marcel. We can forward it to the CEO of NYDA, and then they can answer that question in writing. If Member Chabaleng is not on the platform, I will hand over to the chairperson of the board. I don't think he's on the platform. Is he here, Marcel?
No, chairperson, he's not in the waiting room either. I had said he must rather try to re-enter the meeting via the link.
Okay, my dear. So I will hand over to the chairperson of NYDA board.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. So in our opening remarks, we would have indicated that I'm not alone. I do have our board members on the platform. So I will, you know, perhaps ask some of them just to respond to the issues that were raised. But if I may just kick off, Honourable Chair, there was a question that was raised regarding a rural or a strategy to target youth that are residing in rural areas. So ours is just to outline to the committee that the NYD has developed a strategy to target youth in rural areas. And with the emphasis here is around accessibility and ensuring that our various products and services are accessible to youth residing in rural areas. And some of the interventions that we currently have in place as it relates to this would be us using or the utilization of outreach vehicles, as well as mobile offices to reach youth in rural areas. We've also been able to disseminate NYDA information using areas where youth frequent the most, as well as ensuring that language, our information is translated into some of the official languages in the country. We've also been able to have outreach activations in communities and schools, institutions. Some of the areas that we have been able to cover to date would be, you know, your Limpopo, Capricorn District. We've also had roadshows in your Lesulapotswa District, in Northern Cape, Kuruman, Free State, Eastern Cape, Lusikisiki, Eastern Cape, your Tambo regions, Mpumalanga, and the likes. So there has been work that has been done insofar as that is concerned. But we also have stakeholder engagements with NGOs, private sector and the like, so that they're able to then increase the foothold of the work of the agency as it relates to accessibility to those rural areas. We've also been able to enhance our customer services through our, you know, toll-free number, where young people can call in as well as ensuring that we've got sponsorships of, you know, your community-based organizations with specific focus on rural-based initiatives. So those are just some of the interventions, honorable members, as it relates to rural areas. I will then maybe allow or request the DC to perhaps respond to some of the questions as it relates to sorry, I'm just trying to gather my notes here, honorable members. The high rates of teenage pregnancy, particularly amongst young girls, and the strategies that we have in place to address the overarching challenges that young girls face. And then I will allow the board members to respond to the remainder of the questions before we hand over to management. So thank you very much, honorable chair. If you allow, I'll then request the DC to respond.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you very much, honorable members. I think I'm just going to touch on two areas. I think the first area was the question that was raised by Honorable Baha with regards to the monitoring and evaluation around the programs that we have, you know, so far as delivering services to young people in both urban and rural areas. We can confirm, honorable members, that we do have monitoring and evaluation reports that are available and will definitely be made available for the honorable members. And I think these assist us to fashion our programs in such a way that they become impactful. So that type of engagement that we have with young people through that monitoring and evaluation process assists us for, you know, the next financial year to be able to say, these are the areas that young people are saying we are lacking in. And we then fashion strategies to try and ensure that we resolve some of those shortcomings that we have. I mean, more often than not, young people complain about the effectiveness of our communication, or even sometimes that they're able to call, but, you know, they do not get any form of assistance. So we then look at some of the outcomes of those, you know, researches that would have been done with in line with the programs and service deliverings that we have as the agency, and then we're able to fashion out strategies to try and ensure that we respond to the shortcomings that young people would have identified. So we'll definitely make those reports available for honorable members. With regards to the work that we're doing around mental health, I think we must be able to inform the honorable members that actually one of the major legacy programs that the NYDA board, you know, has decided to look into is actually the question of mental health and how we can be able to prioritize mental health, especially because there's a high suicide rate amongst young people, and we need to be able to ensure that we become proactive with regards to the interventions that we have. There's definitely a relationship that we have with the Department of Health. What we have started to do through what would have been presented by our colleagues in the agency through the Integrated Youth Development Strategy is us going into these provinces, signing MOUs and saying, how can we be able to ensure that we start to operationalize some of the interventions that we believe will be effective? More often than not, because we're on a national level, it becomes far easier for us to say, let's just engage with the deputy ministers, let's just engage with the ministers. But even in provinces and even in local government, you have, you know, different institutions that are dealing with some of these societal challenges that have been highlighted by honorable members. So there is that work to try and ensure that there is some synergy, there is some mainstreaming in it so far as mental health work is concerned. Some of the work that we have been doing, I think when we started with the back to school campaigns earlier in January, was to ensure that as and when we go to these schools to engage young people, you also engage young girls, you know, around, you know, the issues of teenage pregnancy, but also do not leave it there. One of the greatest challenges we have noted as the agency is that we often sanitize statutory rape, because it's not only just an element of teenage pregnancy, but there is also an element of statutory rape, because when you have any form of sexual intercourse with a young person that is underage and you are an adult,
that then needs to be, you know, dealt with as statutory rape. So we're also trying to get the police involved, because more often than not, I think there were reports that teachers, you know, also live in fear. They're unsure whether they must be able to complain about the high levels of teenage pregnancy, because sometimes even teachers themselves are perpetrators. So there needs to be a multidimensional effort that is put in place to try and pull all of these different stakeholders onto the table to try and resolve the challenge of high teenage pregnancies. But we can definitely confirm that there is that work that is being done with the Department of Health, of course, going to the ground, engaging different provincial heads, also going into local government heads as well, and having that conversation to say, after the NYDA leaves, because we don't live in those communities permanently, so our engagement might be just on that one day, but we need to ensure that there are sustainable systems that even community members, and as would have been highlighted, civil society carries on with some of these interventions, so that you do not have a lag, that it's only the NYDA that comes, but after we leave, there is no work that that is being done. So I think on this particular issue, that is going to be my contribution. Thank you very much, Honourable Members.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Thank you very much to the Deputy Chair. Honourable Chair, if you will then allow me to request Ms. Pearl Pillay to cover the aspects on mental health and the civil society questions. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chairperson, and thanks to the Honourable Member for the questions. So on the question around mental health, that's actually a conversation that the Board has been having, I think, since we began our term in office. We're currently in the process of drafting a project plan to launch a mental health project through the agency as part of a Board legacy project that will also form part of the National Youth Service. And the program is aimed at targeting currently three provinces where research has shown to have the highest suicide rates in the country. So it is an issue that we're taking, we don't take lightly at all. And I think given the way the pandemic especially, I think, impacted people's mental health and the lack of intervention, but also the lack of capacity from current mental health organizations and initiatives, we really took seriously that the agency does have a responsibility to create some form of intervention. And so I know the National Youth Service team will be tabling something to the Board at our next Board meeting. And they have been engaging with the Department of Health and various other stakeholders, so organizations like SADAG, like Lifeline, to talk through what are the current mental health interventions that exist, where have they experienced challenges, and what are the gaps that need to be filled, and what are the ways in which the agency can fill them. So that's the mental health question. And then the question around our partnerships with civil society, I think the most tangible way we can talk about the inclusion of civil society is through the National Youth Service. What the program does is it places young people into work opportunities in civil society organizations. The other tier of the National Youth Service is that it actually hosts training and capacity building programs for smaller civic organizations so that their capacity can grow, but so that they can also benefit more widely from NYDA programming. And so I think in thinking about the ways in which the NYDA moves and becomes more inclusive of civil society, I think we can directly point to the National Youth Service. We're also in conversations with the team at the NYS and with the Board about creating a fund that can support young people who are opening, who are starting new NGOs and starting new community-based programming. I think some of the criticism that has come to the NYDA is that we are very entrepreneurship focused and there isn't a big focus on civic organizations. But we are in the process of trying to figure out ways to both fund and capacitate and upskill civil society organizations, but also create a bigger environment for collaboration. And so what happens in the youth service particularly is that the bigger organizations, your Africa Tikkun, your Love Lives, who are part of the program,
actually work on co-creation and collaboration spaces with smaller organizations. So in tandem with building capacity of these organizations, we're also trying to build bigger partnerships so that we kind of address the issue of civil society organizations working in silos. So I think that's it from me. I'll hand back to our chair. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Ms. Pearl. And Honorable Chair, let me allow Ms. Lebohang to speak on the vacancy rates at the agency.
Thank you, Chair, and afternoon to the honorable members. I just wanted to just briefly come in on the issue of the filling of the vacancies. Just maybe to indicate that, you know, it's this board's interest ever since, you know, we took over this position to make sure as far as possible to fill in all the critical vacancies. And I think the board has tackled this one head on, filling in all the very critical vacancies when it comes to the office of the chair, as well as the DC, as well as, you know, quite critically finding ourselves a capable CFO. You've heard her making presentations here today, as well as the unfolding process towards getting a company secretary. So that's the work that we've been seized with, so that sort of to kind of like get the proper institutional arrangement in place for the board to be able to execute its mandate properly, and also for the chairperson and the deputy chairperson to also be able to fulfill their mandate. But in terms of the question relating to the vacancies, I think and maybe the CEO, when he does his remarks, will also be able to kind of talk to this. We did note as a concern the vacancy rate, which was above 20%. And it was a decision from the board to be able to reduce this well below 20%. Hence, you know, we've taken out as many vacancies as what you currently saw in the presentation. It's a substantial amount of positions that need to be filled for the agency, because we do believe in filling of vacancies to make sure that the organization runs properly, because an organization can only run properly if it has the requisite personnel. If this is going to be the year of service delivery, we need actual people delivering the actual services. But what we've come to realize is that, you know, with the very toxic kind of like public sector wage bill discussions, we've had to balance this issue of reducing significantly the vacancy rates also with this issue of affordability. I think the board has really done as much as practically possible in terms of filling vacancies, considering the amount of money that was available to do this. And to be quite honest, the credit must be given to management for also thinking of really creative ways to do this through a mix of permanent position as well as intention programs, so that we can make sure that we have the requisite personnel in place. But there is a number of vacancies that should be filled within the next couple of months by the agency, to ensure that really to deliver on this service delivery mandate, we really have the amount of people in the offices delivering the services to our young people, also making sure that the organization still remains financially sustainable. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Ms. Lebohang. Allow me then, Honorable Chair, just to invite the other board members, if there are anything or any questions that they would like to respond to that hasn't already been responded to, before we allow management to respond to the other outstanding issues.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon to members of the committee. I think for me, Chair, the issue would be, we would want to respond to the issue of the dropout rate, in particular in schools, and what has been the effort that we have made already with the department, working with the department to ensure that whenever we go to these outreach areas that we visit, we are able to engage on a one-on-one young people around the need, not just to remain in schools, those of them who are in schools, but to make sure that even the broader community buys into the project of education for the development of the society, because it is our view that you are not likely to have young people seeing the need to remain in school unless the community takes ownership of that. And I think it's similar to how we look at issues of the mental health and access towards our mainly our processes, and insofar as how young people in rural areas access some of our services. The reason why we went into an online system is so that you don't have to take a taxi to come to us, but we understand that sometimes you have issues of connectivity. The honorable member who spoke was from Indwetwe. I'm quite familiar with the area myself. One of the issues you would find there is the issue of connectivity, which is why we then make available some of these mobile kiosks that young people can take advantage of. But working together with local municipalities and district municipalities, there is a presence of the NYA in almost all the corners of the country because of the partnerships we have with local government. Now, what we need to work on, of course, resource allowing, is the kind of services that you find at a far remote area as opposed to a city center. And the way in which young people, as we popularize our services, take advantage and make use of that which we offer, because it's all good and well to have services that are offered, but the actual success is in the amount of young people that make use of our opportunities. And once they've gotten that hand up, they will then be able to move and assist other people, because it is our view that what is important is to help one person who then must create a job opportunity for another, who must then also be able to help other people, because ours is of a chain effect. Other than that, we will not be in a position, both for time and resources, to touch everyone if they were not to assist everyone else down the line. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Tulisa. And through you then, Honorable Chair, let me invite management to perhaps respond to areas or questions that would have not been already covered. Perhaps the CFO can lead in that regard. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honorable Chair and members. So I will just touch on the, I think the board members have tackled most of the questions adequately, and I will not add anything on that. I think just on human resource, another key thing that Lebo has already spoken about, that report we showed was as of end of April 2022. So after first quarter, there's already been significant changes in that report. And what is still outstanding is currently in this quarter being addressed, because we also needed to first get financial approval from both National Treasury and the board, and in also for those vacancies to be filled. And that has been underway and is being addressed, as Lewis was already alluded to. So please do not, that is not an area of concern. And I'm sure by the next meeting, since we'll probably meet again, we will have a better outcome on that vacancy rate. And then in terms of rental office, the question on why are we spending the money we are spending instead of building? And I think that is a very good question. And it's not one that management and the board has not considered, but it's not one that the Department of Public Works has given the ability for us to be able to, for them to sponsor us getting buildings. However, we do speak and we try with all municipalities where we have branches to first get municipal buildings where we don't have to pay rent. So as I've indicated, out of 40 branches, we don't pay rent in 17 of those branches, because those municipalities and those provinces or districts have given us free rental space. So as the organization and management, we do have those conversations with every area where we are situated. And unfortunately, some of the areas does not afford us the ability to then first, they do not give us those buildings, or when they do, it's in poor quality conditions and it does not adhere to OHS compliance, which is also something we need to consider when we, in terms of Employment Act and where people can work from. And also we need to understand that we're dealing with young people. So the positioning of where our buildings are is very critical and crucial. So we always have to be at the center where it's easy access, where people can take public transport if needs be, and it's somewhere where they can actually access. So if we're now looking at areas that are accessible, most of it is already buildings that exist. We can't go, if we were to start building buildings, would be in the outskirts. But over and above that, the financial constraints, which we cannot afford to build, and we're actually having savings with the rental approach that we're using, because it's easier for me to justify to National Treasury that it's 1 million, as opposed to, I don't know how many millions will be involved in us attaining 40 branches, and we still want to extend that with the current board to have more reach, and also to, with head office. It would be amounts that are over and above, and we would be taking away from the money that should be used for young people. So the rental methodology is currently working, and it's enables us to even expand our reach. And then I think all the other questions through UK, I think were addressed. Management also from our side, we concur with what the board responses were. So I don't, I won't add anything else or open up to the rest of the team who presented, because we were fairly covered. Unless if there's a question that we didn't respond to, Honorable Chair and members, please kindly highlight it again, and we will be happy to respond further. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Member Chabaleng. Maybe you must just put your questions in writing and send it to Marcel so that it can be attended to by the NYDA board, and then they can respond in writing. I'm so sorry that you experienced some challenges when we were having the opportunity to engage with the board. I'm sorry for that, Member Chabaleng. Members, I think we have come to the end of this very long, brief, and progressive part of things. Let me take the opportunity then to thank all our members, our staff members, Minister's Office, the NYDA Board under the leadership of the Chairperson, and also all the management members of the NYDA who was part of this meeting. I think this was one of the meetings that this committee was looking forward to interact with the new board. And from my side, Chairperson and your board, we want to wish you luck. And like I said in my introduction, we want to work with you. Because if we work together with this board, we can really bring a dent into that high unemployment rate of the youth in our country and all the challenges that young people are facing in our country. Then also to the members of the Select Committee, please feel free to make contact with your board member. As you know, I think we've got a board member in every province, as we are representing the provinces in the NCLP. Please make contact with your board members in your province, and if there is any challenges that you are facing, make contact with them or with the chairperson. I think, Marcel, we've got the names and the contact details of all the board members. If maybe you can just send it to all members. But from my side, I think it was very, very productive. And as I said in the beginning, we will keep you accountable. But we can also say that we can see that there is some improvement already. So wishing you well, taking up the issues of young people as very, very, very important. We can now release the minister's office, the board, and the management of NYDA so that we can conclude with our in-house business. So thank you very much for attending, and also thank you very much for honoring the invitation to come before the select committee. Thank you. I will excuse all of you now, and then members, we can just stay behind to finish our business. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Bye. Bye, everyone. Bye.
Members, thank you very much. We will continue now with our business. The draft minutes of the virtual meeting of our committee of the 2nd of August, and the agenda was consideration and adoption of the committee meetings, please, and the consideration and adoption of the third term program. Everybody received this. I was just want to ask if there is any corrections. If there's any corrections that you want to make. If Marcel, you can just. Member Chabling, is that an old hand?
Oh, let me lower it. It's an old hand. Let me lower it now.
Okay. Okay, then, if nobody's got any corrections on this set of minutes, can we then get a mover?
I move for the adoption of the minutes, Chair.
Thank you, Member Chabaling. Is there a seconder?
I second.
Thank you, Member Latuli. Okay, Marcel, is that the only one?
Yes, Chairperson, we are done for the day. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that wise words, Marcel. Okay, members, thank you very much. I think we are done for the day. We can be very proud of ourselves for having this progressive meeting. Go well, members. We'll see each other tomorrow when we're in another meeting. So this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.